We do have about 1 hour. We started a few minutes late, so we're just going to take that into consideration with this question and answer session. Well, first, for the increase of the tawfiqat and the health and the safety and the iman of Dr. Fuad Izzadi, we send him and his family a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajjal farajam. So I don't know. Well, first off, do we have anybody? I think we have the mics going around by chance. We'll start with the gent side because they're closer to me. If anybody has a question, please put it forward in the name of Allah.
I think I'll start if you allow.
Okay, Ahsan.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Jazakallah for a good presentation and opening up the discussion. Well, one thing I had in mind is that if you look at one of the recent speeches of Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Ummah, he said that there is a new world order that is shaping up, right? And then he mentioned three points in this new world order, and he said that these three points are bound to happen. And these are some things that are confirmed and sure shot. One of those things is isolation of America on the global stage. There are other two points too. One is the resistance, and the other is wealth and knowledge and science and technology moving to Asia, from the West to Asia, right? So this first point is, if you could elaborate on that, what does it mean when we talk about isolation of America, and how, more importantly, how is it going to impact the Islamic world, and especially the block of resistance, especially led by the Islamic Revolution and Islamic Republic and the system of Wilayatul Faqih? How is it going to impact? How does it change the equation, this isolation of America? First, what does it mean? Second, how does it impact us?
I think the first point that we need to remember is that this idea that we are moving towards a new world order, a world order that's multipolar, is the consensus of the scholars of this field. There is another consensus, and that's the issue of decline in the United States. Now, in Iran, we have sometimes difficulty, because when we talk about decline, people think about collapse. These are two different things. Collapse is what happened to the Soviet Union. Decline is reduction of power. So how do we know the United States' power is reducing? They came to this part of the world. They occupied two countries. They talked about changing the government in Syria. They stayed around for about 20 years, and they didn't get any of the above. The government of Syria stayed the same. They had to leave Afghanistan in a very disgraceful manner. Even with Yemen, the people that are quite weak in terms of monetary advances, they even couldn't achieve their goals in Yemen. They have been trying to overthrow the government in the Islamic Republic for the last 40 some years. And we are here, you are here, the government is here, and nothing is going to change. That is decline. The United States, the official Pentagon budget is over $800 billion. You know, the budget of the Iranian army doesn't reach $1 billion. So they spend 800 times more. And they spend a lot of this money in this part of the world. But Iran's policies are actually more advancing than American policies. This is something you learned in Islamic studies, that although the Islamic side is weaker in terms of number or power or monetary backing, they are advancing more. They're advancing more. So you saw that during the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and you see that today at the current situation that we have, that the other guys are spending 800 times more than what you are doing, but they are not achieving their goals. So that's decline. That's one example of decline. The United States still has a big army, but this big army cannot achieve anything substantial when it comes to achieving foreign policy goals. And the reason we are moving towards a multipolar world is because the current world order, which is led by the United States, is facing difficulties. If the United States was not in decline, we would not be talking about moving towards a new world order. And this is a consensus. So all of you speak English. I mentioned this point. I've mentioned this point in other places. If you find a scholar that doesn't believe in American decline, please send me the link, because there's a consensus in that. Now, there are some scholars that say if the US does A or B or C, they can reduce the speed of decline. But we don't have anyone that I know, and I study this every day, that doesn't believe in decline. Again, decline is different from collapse. Decline is reduction of power. You know, there was this, do we have anyone from Australia? No? There was this Australian think tank, one of their major think tanks, that did this study about a month ago, about 1.5 months ago. They looked at 44 scientific fields, 44 scientific fields. And in 37 out of 44, China was leading the United States. China was number one. In the rest, that is 7 remaining fields, US was still leading. Out of 44, 37 China. And in that list, Iran was in top 5 in 5 fields. So in scientific progress in Iran has been okay, with all the difficulties and sanctions. So you have a situation that there's a consensus that the US power is in decline. And whether it's military or even scientific fields, you know, in Iran we still have some people that look to the West. In Farsi we say Arab Zadegi, Westoxication, I think they translated Westoxication. One of the problems we had was that we were saying that why are you so much interested in the West, the Iranians? We were asking this, our Iranian friends. And they were saying that, look, all the sciences in the West. Well, today, not anymore. So this decline is resulting this move towards multipolarity, this move towards a new world order, because the old order that was led by the United States is no longer able to hold because of the decline of the major country, the United States. Now, American officials have this chance to realize the way forward is soft landing. You're familiar with soft landing. Soft landing is that when you realize there's a problem, you don't crash. You don't crash the whole system. But the problem with American politicians, because of some of the issues we just discussed, the influence of money and different difficulties that they have, it seems, at least the current administration or the previous administration, they're not going to do soft landing. So when they see China is advancing, instead of coming to some sort of settlement with China, they want to fight China. When they see Iran, instead of realizing that the Islamic Republic is not going to be replaced, it's not possible to overthrow the Islamic government, instead of realizing that fact, they want to overthrow, still, after so many failures, they still want to overthrow the Islamic government. So it seems American politicians are incapable of engaging in policies that would result in the United States keeping a status. They may not be number one. You know, China is going to take over the US in terms of economic power. But instead of fighting, you can accommodate and survive in a much more proper manner. And since they're not doing that, they will face isolation. So that's number one point that Ayatollah Khamenei had. That isolation will come because American officials are not capable of realizing what they need to do now that we are moving towards a new world order. They unsuccessfully want to keep the old order, which is not possible. In terms of resistance, when we talk about the resistance, it used to be Iran, Hezbollah, some of the organizations that are close to Iran. It was resistance against what? Against arrogance, led by the United States. Nowadays, you see Russia is saying no to the United States. You see China saying no. So the frontiers of resistance are expanding. You know, during the Iran-Iraq war, Iran was under a lot of hardship. Western governments were against Iran. Iranian officials asked the Soviet Union at that time, we need some arms, because Shah used to buy American arms, and Iranian army was having difficulties because Americans were not giving Iran anything. And the Soviet Union at that time refused. They did not give Iran arms. Now, the Russians, same Russians more or less, same country, the Western media reports is that Iran is giving them arms. So you see in the matter of about 30 years, 35 years, Iran was, 35 years ago, Iran was asking them to, can you give us some arms to defend the country? They were saying no. Now, Westerners say that Iran is giving them drones or missiles. So this is amazing. This is amazing. This is a turn, huge turn. So this was the second point, that this resistance is expanding. And this move from west to east. You don't accept my analysis. You know, there is this annual meeting in Munich, Germany. It's called the Munich Security Conference. It's the biggest security conference in the world. You have over 50 heads of states come, foreign ministers, defense officials, Munich Security Conference. The way they organize is that they work on a text for 1 year, and then they present the text during the 4 or 5 days of conference for feedback. The text they had just a couple of years ago, the title was Westlessness. Now you speak English. You know, we didn't have a word, weightlessness. We have a weightlessness, right, in English? There is this word, weightlessness. There is no weightlessness. You didn't have, right? Am I wrong? Because you are the native speakers. No weightlessness. The title of that report is weightlessness. Playing on the word weightless. Weightlessness means no weight, right? Weightlessness means no west. And these are, Germany is in the west. So this is something they realize. Germans realize this issue of soft landing more. So they say that we are moving towards east. Eastern countries are gaining in terms of money, in terms of influence, in terms of other areas of power. So realize this. The next year, the title was Beyond Westlessness. Beyond, so in Farsi, Beyond Westlessness. Again, this is a consensus among academics, scholars, even think tanks, places like Munich Security Conference, that there is this movement of wealth and power from west to east. Why? Because of the difficulties I talked about in my initial talk, that capitalism as it's practiced today, liberal democracy as it's practiced today, is causing serious problem for Western countries. That's the main reason they're declining. Otherwise, with all the plunder, all the killing, all the occupation, they should not be in this state of decline. They should be in this state of increase of power. So this is what I think.
Okay, Jazakallah. We have another question here. Somebody wrote down, they said, how do you stop youngsters from consuming American media and getting highly influenced by it? So I'm assuming Hollywood and these kinds of things, but the media in general. And then they asked, how do you break this mass media propaganda?
You know, United States is in decline in terms of military achievements, in terms of economic supremacy, in terms of political supremacy, in terms of soft power of people liking the US government, in terms of building institutions, these five areas. So why the United States became powerful? Because of five reasons. They achieved military supremacy, they achieved economic supremacy, they achieved political supremacy, they became a popular country. The government of the United States became popular because of all the successes they had. And then they were able to build institutions to keep this power. That's how United States became United States. The issue of decline is hitting them at these five areas. One area they are not declining. That is the area of propaganda. In terms of propaganda, the United States is not declining. Other countries, Chinese propaganda, very poor. Russian, very poor. Iran, you know better. Let me not put a label. They're doing quite well. Hollywood is doing well. And that is having influence even in Qom, right? You walk in the Qom streets, you see the influence of American propaganda. So the influence is there. They're not declining. And how do you fight that? It's very difficult, because we have brothers like Sheikh Ali that has been engaging in this type of activities, trying to provide content. But it's not easy. It's not easy. that is one reason. I'm going back to the first point that I had. That if you guys, and we don't have anybody else, believe me, it's just you, and other people that are in Qom, maybe here today, but are of the same background. That unless you are able to confront that ideology in their home territory, unless you are able to attract Americans to the third way, because there's a lot of discontent in the United States. They're looking for a third way. If you are able to connect to that population that is growing as we speak, then, you know, attacking the enemy from the behind, that's the basic idea. If you'll be able to connect with that population, then you need Americans to fight American pop culture. If you have rap music that is full of vices, you need revolutionary rap music. There's no other way, because people like rap. So you need to provide better content. If you want to fight Hollywood movies that are propagating vices, you need to have Hollywood, people inside Hollywood, maybe Muslim producers, Muslim actors, or non-Muslim actors that are opposing that type of system, to produce movies, because they have the capability. We need to work on our capabilities here, but it's not easy. I'm not going to be telling you things that are not going to happen. I'm going to be honest with you. It's not going to be easy to have, you know, they call it production value, right? In English, production value. Production value in the United States is quite high. It's very difficult. You know, all the people in IRIB are trying to address this issue that they have. So they invite me, and I talk about the United States. After I finish my talk, they show a movie from Hollywood. Whatever I say is totally, you know, useless. This, I have seen this. It's difficult. They are not declining in that area. With AI, with artificial intelligence, they're actually getting better at it. It's becoming faster, the technology is helping them. So I'm going to be honest with you. It's going to be difficult to confront in that area. So you have to confront in other areas that you have more advantages and go from the behind, as I said. Okay. So we have some?
This question we already answered. There's one that's short, and then I'm going to go to a live question. The question here is, what are some books that you would recommend for America Shinasi, for getting to know America, I guess? Some books, if you would recommend, and we would humbly say that, apart from the books, if you have any books, and if you don't have any books, we would love to have some books about this America Shinasi.
You know, since all of you speak English, I would recommend, there's this book, Irony of Democracy. It's available in Libgen. Do you know Libgen? There's this Russian site that pirates books. Since it's difficult, you know, Dr. Haydari came here with me to Qom from Tehran. He's having, before I forget, he's having this debate on American decline. He's training students in Tehran. He's training students in Tehran, providing them with content, and he's teaching them debating skills. So if any of you are interested in that topic, maybe he can work with you. You know, I was at an NGO and we invited Dr. Haidari 2-3 years ago, and he had, I think, 10 Iranian students almost. And they were saying amazing things about him in terms of his teaching abilities. I didn't know that. I knew he's a nice guy, but I didn't know he has this teaching abilities. I wasn't sure. But then I realized that he's actually good in that area as well. So, irony of democracy is I think is good. It goes through the political structure in the United States, which is useful, not just for Americans, given the fact that the U.S. is causing a lot of difficulties internationally. Knowing how the U.S. system works is going to be something that is useful for everybody, whether they're American or not. So you start with irony of democracy. In terms of American history, Howard Zinn, this People's History of the United States. It's a famous book, The People's History of the United States. The book is on LibGen. The audio is available here and there, audio books. I think you can access. So that's good for history. I think you start with these two books, and then let me give you my telephone number. If once you finish, you can send me a message and I can introduce more books to you. So my telephone number is 0912 0912 82 36 800 0912 82 36 800. If you have questions, you send me a message. Leave an audio, for example. You hear something on the news. you leave me a voice. If you send me a message on these social media, send me an SMS, because the numbers I don't know, I don't open. Unless you send me a regular SMS, then I'll go say that I sent you a message on ETA or WhatsApp or whatever. And I go and listen, and if I know the answer, I would leave a voice message for you. You know, as brother said, I teach at University of Tehran, so that's my job. So you are not officially University of Tehran students, but we can always, and I also benefit from your thinking and your questions and your thought. It's a mutual benefit.
So, Dr. Fuad, that's very honorable of you. If it was one of us, we would have added or subtracted a number from the telephone number.
You can yeah. Test it whether God it works or not.
I'm going to go to one live question, if that's okay. Yes. If you could introduce yourself, right, and where you're from, inshallah.
All right. My name is Ali Murtada. Sorry. Ali Murtada. I'm from Nigeria, and it's a beautiful speech. And sir, I have a question. You talked about individualism. So, and this individualism have aided the propaganda, the American propaganda. For example, you were talking about the AI, for example, the Hollywood and everything. So we have this certain level of freedom we want to have. And whenever we see, we understand the propaganda and the American propaganda, for example, we'll be like, okay, yeah, this individualism we are talking about has made, it has made freedom, the definition of freedom, very difficult. Like this also we are talking about, everybody says freedom, freedom, freedom. But when we talk about Islam, who has the definition of freedom, it's totally different than the American way of freedom. Right now, it still falls back on individualism. Now, sorry, this falls back to what you were saying earlier. You said the non-Islamic, the non-Iranian students, they have a lot of work, they have something to do in the country. ideal example, an ideal exemplar, for example. Okay, who do we refer to, for example, this society is like this, it has achieved this, it is successful in this manner. Then whenever we give it, whenever we are preaching to the people, we'll be like, okay, this is the society, this is the Iranian society, this is how it is. But when you come into this place, for example, we have some issues, just like the propaganda, what happened recently, the protests and everything, which the media propagated so much, looking like, so how do we tackle this right now? How do we get that ideal example whereby we refer to all the time? Okay, whenever we are talking, it's not an issue of do what I say, but do what I do. You understand? Like, how do we refer back to this perfect example all the time? How do we create the society? How do we necessarily?
Right. You know, one reason the United States is in decline is because of the definition of freedom they have, because of that individualism concept. And a lot of people, even inside the United States, realize there is something wrong. There is something wrong. In terms of culture, there is this. There's this culture war in the United States. These are, you Google these things, since you're not from the US, you may not be familiar, but people who are from the US, I think, know what I'm talking about. So they realize that a style of governance is causing difficulties, not only in cultural issues. You know, there is this institute in the United States, Urban Institute. It's one of the more important research organizations that deals with social social difficulties in that country, economic difficulties. They had a report, it's available online, that 24.6% of Americans suffer from hunger. 24.6. There's a country of 330 million, almost one fourth of that population. And hunger, this is how they describe it, that people have a choice. If they buy groceries today, they may not be able to afford the medicine they need. If they buy the medicine, they may not be able to buy groceries. If they buy groceries and medicine, they may not be able to pay their rent at the end of the month. So they have to choose. They cannot have it all at once. So it is this type of, and United States, you look at the list of billionaires, most of them are Americans. So there is this system of governance that is producing a lot of billionaires, and then about one fourth of the population is suffering from hunger. So that's the situation you have. And a lot of the difficulties people have is because of these cultural issues. So a lot of people that are homeless in the United States are homeless because of mental illness. Why are people mentally have all these mass shootings? A lot of it goes back to mental problems. The breakup of the families in such huge numbers. When I was in the United States, we had this daycare center next to the place I was. And there was this Iranian lady, not religious. She was working in that daycare center. And she knew I'm from Iran, so sometimes she would come and talk to me. And she was upset. She's not a religious lady. She was upset. She was saying, we have this little girls, 4 or 5 year old girls. Every 2 or 3 weeks, a new guy brings this little girl to the daycare center. And I asked the little girl, who is this guy? And she says, my new daddy. So that is the breakup of the family. what will happen to that girl? How would she grow? This is the freedom the mother feels she has to have a new daddy every few weeks. That's the difficulty they have. So my suggestion is that realizing the difficulties that definition of freedom brings to a society. And that is the advantage that Islam has. That Islam does not believe in that type of freedom. And because Islam does not believe in that type of freedom, then family difficulties are less. Obviously, there are family difficulties within Muslim communities. Some of it goes back to the fact that they're not practicing Islam. So these are our high points when it comes to freedom. This is one of the advantages that we have, that we don't have the concept of freedom that is advertised in liberal democracies. And that is why Muslim societies are generally, when you look at the statistics, we have less problem with alcoholism. You look at Muslim societies, generally less problem with that. There's a map of alcoholism in the world. So you have some countries that are red, you know, orange. Relatively less problem within Muslim societies. The sexual vices, relatively less. And these are advantages that we have. But we have to find the way of, you know, conveying this type of data and messages. What freedom means in Islam. You know, the books of Shahid Mutahari, I'm sure you have read. So there are some in English. We have some translations of his books. Maybe some of the, you already may be doing this, that some of the content that we need to provide in social media and using, you know, multimedia systems is on this very fact, you know, what is freedom? What is the meaning of freedom in Islamic thought? You know, I was watching this video from Chicago the other day, that female Hispanics, if you want, send me a message, I'll share that video with you. This was on Fox News, local Fox station in Chicago, that female Hispanics are becoming Muslim. In large numbers. Not males, females. And this was something strange. So the local Fox News went and investigated, you know, what's going on with this. You know, it shows, this is what I was saying, that it shows that Islamic teachings, that third way I was talking about, has interaction. Now, these things I told you, you talk to Iranian, some of the Iranian youth, they have, you know, they don't want to hear about it. They say that this, the freedom you have here is better than the freedom in West. What do they tell you? They say, we want the freedom in West. When can we get the visa? So, but once they go, a lot of them, because we used to live in the US. We had people coming through a lottery. You know, I lived in Houston for 18 years. There was this Islamic Education Center in Houston. So I remember Iranian families coming once they first reached the United States, nice family. They had a business here, they won the lottery, they sold the business, they came to the US. And then after a few years, I was the witness for their divorce. Husband and wife left each other. The children were, you know, when they came, they were reciting Bistudoi Bahman, all these things. Children are gone. They didn't have to come. You know, once you win the lottery, nobody forces you to come. They chose to come. And they destroyed their family in that manner. So once they come, these Iranians that are friends that are not listening to some of these topics, they have to go and experience and get hit with the difficulties. And then they realize it, which is the wrong way of doing it. You don't need to experience the difficulty to be able to understand. So this is a difficult task, and you know, coming up with innovative ways. You know, some of our brothers are good at animation. You know, using multimedia devices to convey some of these messages. These are the things that we need to do, and I think there is. there are people in the world that are waiting for this type of message. It's our responsibility to be able to convey these concepts. Yes, no problem.
We're going to ask the last question. We're actually running close to being out of time. We do thank you for your patience in answering all these questions. The last two here, I'm going to try to combine. I'm going to go ahead and try to combine them because they kind of work hand in hand. So the question is, if you live in a country like Canada or America, and you want to speak about the truth, but you are worried about being silenced or worse than that, how do you fight that? How do you, you know, voice your concern? How do you speak the truth? In a country they're saying that you live in Canada or America. The second question it said that, you know, it's interesting to know that Islam has both the positive qualities of liberalism and communism and doesn't have any of their negative qualities. So what is holding us back from being able to put forth the message of Islam out there? So they kind of go hand in hand in the name of Allah.
You know, the first point, this is a struggle. You know, it's easy for me in Qom to talk about these things, but can I do the same thing in Houston? Not necessarily very easy. You know, we had these visits from the FBI so many times, I lost count. You know, this is one of the reasons we ran away from the United States, because these guys were giving us a hard time. It's a struggle. It's not easy. And you have to be careful with regard to your family and other things. But, you know, the Islamic Revolution came through sacrifices. This book, cell number 14, it's in English. It is Ayatollah Khamenei's memoirs during his, before the Islamic Revolution. It's sort of an autobiography of Ayatollah Khamenei. The translation is good, unexpectedly. Normally we don't have good translation, but this one is an exception. It's available in print. It's the audio. This brother Hassan Tawakkoli that used to work at Press TV, the brother who was born in England, he read it. I have the audio. Probably I can send it to you through these social networks if you want it. It's on a, I have it on a flash. I think I can transfer it to. Listening to that, I think, would help. Islamic Revolution came through serious hardship. People were tortured, imprisoned, killed, martyred. I'm not suggesting you go to the United States and become a martyr, unless you are a Sayyid, because we don't have Imamzadeh in the United States. So Ali, you are free to go. You are not Sayyid, but the brother, he's a candidate. Yes, yes. So soon, you know, Ayatollah Khamenei has these representatives in other countries, and they met with him some years ago. So they were sitting, and Ayatollah Khamenei comes, and he says, "None of you have been martyred." And they initially think that he is joking, but I don't think he was joking. That you're having a good time, apparently. You know, you have been martyred. So why haven't you? We should, at least a couple of you should not be here. You know, we should lose a couple, at least two or three of you every year. So it's a struggle. It's not easy. But based on your capacity, you know, this Islamic teaching that Allah does not expect more than what your capacity is. So as long as you stay on the right path. It's a trend. American decline is a trend. The trend to replace liberal democracy is a trend. It's not going to happen overnight. It needs the help of these people. So I would, people who are worried about silence and these things, reading some of these accounts like Ayatollah Khamenei's autobiography of what he did before the Islamic Revolution, I think would help people. And I forgot the second part of your question. I didn't write, so I forgot. You forgot, huh?
No, I didn't forget. No. It's my job to not forget. The second part was that, we find that liberalism and communism had all of the, Islam has the positive qualities of liberalism and communism, not any of the negative qualities. So why is it that we don't see that there's more of a push in the, I guess, tabligh or the propagational effort when it comes to Islam in Western countries?
You know, this is the point I had, that the first step for people like you is to find people in your countries, whether it's United States or Canada or Philippines, that share some of these concerns. So for example, there are some organizations, leftist organizations, that have these social justice concerns. So the first issue, the first step is to know. That's why we talked about the knowledge about these countries, the countries that you come from, deep knowledge. You know, the Imam Khomeini was talking about learning about the politicians and the policies. You know, the politicians, the people, the structure, the networks. In all these countries, all of you speak English, in these countries that speak English, they are these organizations, they are these that have similar goals, similar concerns. So the first step is to know them. The second step is to connect with them, with the language they understand. You know, this is what you do in tabligh, right? So they tell you that you have a deep knowledge of your audience, and then connect with them on the beliefs that they already have, on common issues that you both share. And the third step is to convey new content to them that is Islamic content that they don't know about. It's very difficult. And you know, this has been done. With regard to China, when I went to Beijing, there's this masjid in Beijing that's more than 1,000 years old. And there are two Maulanas that are buried there. Both of them Iranian, and they established that masjid. They, you know, in 1,000 years they had many Maulanas, but these two were inside the masjid. We didn't know. The custodian of that masjid said that you are from Iran. These guys are Iranians, and you know the Chinese Muslims, the words they have for Islamic, for example, they say namaz. They don't say salat. They use this Farsi word. So we have this experience of more than 1,000 years that people from this part of the world would go to faraway places. 1,000 years ago, China was the furthest they could go, and engage in tabligh, in propaganda. So if they could do it 1,000 years ago without electricity, without internet, without all the devices that we have, we relatively have an easier time. And at the same time, our task is more difficult because the enemies are also having these devices and they're better at it. So it's both easier and also more difficult. Easier because we have devices, we don't have to travel somewhere to convey a message. More difficult because the competition is still very strong.